Praise God. I know it's Sunday school time. But Jesus has something really special for us this hour. It's up to us if we will open up and receive what he has. As you take your seats, keep that spirit, that craving, that hunger for him. Praise God. Have you ever been in a dark house alone and heard those noises? This church building. I love coming to this church building, but I don't like coming to this church building to find out why the alarm went off in the middle of the night when it's dark and creaky. I've been at home and I've heard sounds that make me think that things are there that aren't. Anybody been there? That shadow on the wall, whatever you can grab, you're ready to fight. I'm going to get it. And then something else catches your eye over here, right? And you are in full fight or flight mode. It is go time. You are ready. The adrenaline is going. And then you turn on the light and you're like, that is what I was afraid of? That's just my husband's sweatshirt hanging on the door. The moonlight was casting a shadow across the bathroom that I didn't recognize, and I was convinced there was somebody outside my window waiting for me. But when the light comes on, it reveals to us the things that the noise have told us are there. The intruder isn't really there. I always think of my boys whenever I talk about intruders or shadows. Sam was left guardian over Kenley for a weekend when Kenley was about 9 years old. So that would make Sam 19 years old. And they were downstairs playing video games and they heard a noise upstairs. I'm pretty sure it was just the dog. But they heard a noise and Sam was ready. He went on guard and he got his sword. Yes, he had a sword. He called it kindness, affectionately, because he was determined. If he ever had to kill someone, he was doing it with kindness. That was his thought. As he went upstairs, he grabbed a steak knife. He put a steak knife in the hands of my 9-year-old boy, and they were going after the bad guy. I didn't know this, but I came home and I went in the boy's bathroom, and I was like, what is going on? Because there was black duct tape patches on the white shower curtain. My boys, what happened here? Oh, we were scared and we thought someone might be in the shower, so we shoved the sword through the shower and the knife. So you could see like the difference of the heights of the kids. The things we think are there, the things that we're convinced of in the noise, in the shadow, in the ruffle. Sadly, I was very familiar with this when fear was something, an anxiousness that clung tight to me as a young teenager. I've shared the story before when a friend of mine was murdered. I was so afraid that I didn't even sleep in my own room. I think it was weeks, it could have been months, but I was so afraid to sleep by myself that I chose to sleep on the floor of my parents' bedroom. And I remember this vividly. One night my dad had the window open, and I really wanted it closed because just the ruffle of the curtain terrified me because of the shadow. You see, the murderer of my friend wasn't after me, but he tormented my world because he got in my head. And I didn't want the window open. I didn't want the breeze flowing. And my father tried to reassure me that everything was okay, but I was so convinced that it was not. Today in our covenant series, we're continuing on in the New Testament epistles. And although life in covenant with God involves spiritual opposition, we have to understand that God's Spirit is what works in our life as the armor to give us victory. We're going to study in the book of Ephesians, one of my most favorite books of the Bible. We're going to dig into chapter 6 and look at the whole armor of God. When I think about the armor of God, I always think about the borrowed imagery. From what soldiers? The Roman. That's always what I think of when I think about that. But in studying this and gleaning more in the scriptures, I realized that while no doubt Paul, who was a prisoner when the time that he sat and wrote this letter to the church of Ephesus, he was a prisoner in his own home. He was on house arrest. He was chained with a short chain, maybe 18 inches, maybe 24 inches, and there was a Roman soldier that close to him 24/7. Because they considered Paul to be a threat to the empire. And so he was chained that close. And I think about Paul being there, and I think, yeah, I can see how. Every single day, he's standing there face to face, looking at this armor, looking at this Roman soldier. And I thought, okay, that makes sense to me how he wrote Ephesians 6. But then when I learned this, I was like, oh, I can totally see Paul sitting there, looking at the armor, and subtly remembering the words of Isaiah in chapter 59, where God is looking. He's looking on a corrupt earth where there is no justice, and he's looking for a righteous man to intervene, and he cannot find one. And so what does he do? He takes his own righteousness and creates a breastplate, his righteousness, and the helmet of salvation that he put on his head. Verses 16 and 17 tell us. So I can see Paul sitting there staring at this Roman soldier as he's writing this letter, and he's like, hey, he's wearing that armor thinking he's the greatest soldier, but I know the one who wore it first. And he thinks about a God and the breastplate of righteousness that he cultivated and the helmet of salvation that he created. God wore it first. So when we look at the armor, you know, at first when I started studying this, I was like, the armor. How many of you have not heard about the armor of God? That's what I suspected. We've all heard about it. We've all seen illustrations. It's something that's familiar to us. And so you're like, oh, okay, I can go with that. But the way in this study and going through it, it showed me a different way. That, you know what? The shadows of life are going to be here. And the light is the armor. Or the armor is the light for us to overcome the shadows that we think that we see in life. Some of you don't look convinced. But by the end of this, I think that you will. This summer at family camp, Brother Raymond Woodward did a fantastic job. I'm a big fangirl of Brother Raymond Woodward, I'll just admit it, okay? If you haven't listened to it, I encourage you to listen to it. His lesson that he did was Dress to Kill. Ready? Or The Real Battle, I believe it was. So if you want to watch that, you can. I do recommend it. But when he taught, he said that if we focus on the devil, we become paralyzed with anxiety and incapable of functioning in the physical realm. Everything is the devil. If we ignore it, we ignore the devil, we become paralyzed and apathy sets in. And we become incapable of functioning in the spiritual realm. Nothing is the devil. You see the difference in the attitude there? We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we do fight for them. We have to understand that. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. That means I'm not fighting you and you're not fighting me. But we should be fighting for each other. For each other. Because we have to understand that the casualties of spiritual warfare is because of sin. You see, the truth of the matter is that sin breaks all of us in different places. And in Ephesians chapter 6, we can identify the source where the conflict originates in high places. Brother Woodward talked about 2 Corinthians chapter 10 in identifying the site where the battle is fought. And to overcome strongholds, we have to overcome our carnal mind. We have to conquer our mind. We have to see the truth of the matter. And the truth of the matter is, I cannot control anyone. Lord knows I've tried. I can only control myself. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 3 through 5 talks about the strongholds. The strongholds in the being the prison of the mind. The imaginations is the mindset. It's the accumulated information of everything that I've gathered about the situation. The high things, that's the pride. It's my self-sufficiency, my stubbornness, my me-do-it attitude. And then there's the thoughts, which are my perceptions, my feelings, my senses, what I perceive it to be. And he went on to tell us that our emotions are an open door to the enemy, but our feelings are not reliable. You see, the truth of the matter is there are two battlefronts. There's the first battlefront that is the war against the devil himself. We have an enemy of our souls, and there is a real spiritual war going on. And then there's the battlefield of our mind. And a lot of times when we come at the armor of God, we're thinking about the devil. And we're thinking about getting our war clothes on and going after the devil. But not so often, maybe it's just me, we don't think about going after the battle of our minds. The spiritual warfare that has to take place. You see, the greatest strategy that you and I have is to yield to the Holy Spirit and to submit all of it to Him. Our will, our wants, our struggles, our frustrations, our disappointments, life didn't turn out the way it was supposed to, this wasn't supposed to happen, this isn't what I signed up for. We have to submit that to Him. So as we look into the scriptures today, think of the armor, God's armor, as more of a light switch. You see, that belt of truth, it really is a light because it reveals to us what the shadow really is. Too many of us are worn out, tired, frustrated, not because we're weak, but because we are fighting the wrong things. We're chasing after shadows because the noise of life has convinced us that this is our reality. That is not what God wants for us. And He has given us and desires to equip us with the full armor of God, so that we can walk in the victory that He's already secured. Let's go into Ephesians 6, starting at verse 10. Finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. That word wiles in verse 11, other translations call it the schemes, the tricks of the devil. The original word is methodia, and it only appears twice in the New Testament in the book of Ephesians. Methodia, what is it? It comes from a word that means to follow a path, to track, to stalk. One source used the word to describe a wild animal that patiently tracks its prey before pouncing. We recently adopted a little black kitten who looks like a little baby panther, who thinks he's the world's greatest hunter. You should see him chase flies. He gets all down there and he's ready. And he also pounces and goes after toes. So I wear a lot more slippers now. But here, this is talking about the enemy. The enemy is not reckless. The enemy is not stupid. He has a strategy. And the fact of the matter is, he's tailored his strategy to each one of us. And the truth of the matter is that what you struggle with, I might not struggle with. But what I struggle with, you might not struggle with. But I guarantee you, every one of us is struggling with something. And the enemy knows. And he's watching. And he's waiting. And it may not be instant. but he will pounce. He has a calculated strategy. And his strategy has not changed from the beginning. His strategy is designed to dismantle trust one step at a time. But the good news is this morning that the armor of God is also strategic. God has a strategy, a divine strategy that's designed to protect the truth and to restore our trust. Verse 13 tells us, therefore take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. We are not exempt from evil. Somehow, this deception has crept into the minds of Christians today that if God loves me, I would never stub my toe or have a flat tire or have my car stolen at Christmas. I would never have a bad thing ever happen to me, ever, because he's good and he's God and he loves me, and that's what means he loves me. That's deception, because we live on earth. And we're stuck here in the brokenness of humanity. And the evil will come. So the very first truth is, God never hid that. Read the New Testament. He does not promise us an easy life. He challenges us. And he prays that our faith wouldn't fail. Because we're going to make mistakes. We're going to mess up. But we have a God who loves us, who will forgive us, and who will equip us towards his righteousness. That's why he's given it to us. So the first thing we need to fight and to combat is the deception of the enemy. Evil will come, but God is greater. And he will make a way, and he will redeem. And we have to trust him. I got my preach on today. I'm sorry. Let's continue to look here. The strategy, the armor of God. Paul starts describing to us what I would like to say is our standing armor. This is armor that should be on. We shouldn't have to put on the belt of truth. We have it. We shouldn't have to put it on. We should be ready with it. You see, that belt of truth, I don't wear a belt very often. It's very rare that I wear a belt now that I think about it. But I have, you know, I see my husband's belt, I see my son's belt. They're not very thick. But this belt that's being described, most likely, using the context of the Roman soldier, was a very thick leather belt. And this belt went around the waist first, because much of the armor attached and was secured to the belt. The breastplate of righteousness secured to the belt. The sword of the Spirit carried in the belt. Truth must be established. We live in a society today where you have your truth and I have my truth. There's only one truth, the truth of God. We must have the belt of truth on. Otherwise, those shadows will trick us into thinking there's something there that's not. We have to have the belt of truth. Don't forget, the primary weapon of the enemy is deception. It doesn't have to be true, but if I can get you to think that it's true, I've got you. It's all about getting us to doubt God. Just like I said all the way back in the Eden, did God really say, do you really think you're going to die? Doubt. Doubt breeds denial. And then the reframing of truth begins, if we're not careful. Scriptures tell us in John 8:44 that the enemy is not just a liar. He's the father of all lies. It's his language. He can't speak anything but lies. He lies to us about God's character. He lies to us about God's victory. He lies to us about our identity. He lies to us about our future. He lies to us about our circumstances. He lies. But truth. Truth is what holds everything else in place. I feel this, I think this, but God, I know that you cannot fail. I know that you have not left me. I know that you are for me. Life doesn't feel like it's going like it should be. It doesn't feel like you love me, but I know that you do. That's the truth that we have to stand on. The second piece is the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness that covers the heart. When we think of the heart, we think of, I love you. I love cheeseburgers. I love jellyfish. That's true. I love. But when the scriptures talk about the heart, it's talking about something deeper. It's the core of who we are. It's the will. It's the mind. And it's got to be protected by his righteousness, not my righteousness. Because I don't have it. I don't have it. And sometimes that's frustrating because we want to puff ourselves up and say, I've got it together. But the truth of the matter is the scriptures tell us that our righteousness is as filthy rags. Do you know what kind of filthy rags that's talking about? It's gross, but it's true. It's menstrual rags. That's disgusting. That's our righteousness. It is important that we take on his righteousness. He's done it, but it's not in our strength. It's all in him. The breastplate of righteousness. Praise God. Remember, we're not just putting on random gear. God's got a divine strategy for us. We are putting on his equipment. Every piece of the armor counteracts a strategy, the wiles of the enemy. Every piece of armor is designed to fight and protect against it. Verse 15 tells us to have shod your feet with the preparation of a gospel of peace. The enemy's move is to knock you off balance. What knocks me off balance may not knock you off balance. But hold your tongue, because there's other things that will knock you off balance. And we get really good at watching and observing and seeing and looking others, but not ourselves. But we know. And he knows. He knows. And the enemy knows. So what do we need? We need shoes of peace. When I think about the shoes of peace, I've always seen pictures of sandals. I mean, these are close sandals, not quite. These are not war shoes. I'm not going to battle in these shoes. But when you look at the shoes that they were talking about, there were spikes on the bottom of those sandals. They weren't just sandals. We weren't going to slip and fall. There were spikes. Why were there spikes? Because in the instability of the terrain of the battlefield and where you're going, you need to have feet that are steady and feet that are stable. There needs to be a peace that passes all understanding. When it doesn't make sense, when everything around me is breaking apart, I can still have the peace of God carrying me. That's what it means to have our feet shod with peace. Praise God. Praise God. There's a fly up here, I need my cat. So here we are. We have our standing armor. The last three pieces of armor in the Bible talk to us. And this is the armor that when we see the enemy coming and we hear the deception of the enemy, these are the things that we need to grab onto. We need to grab onto them because we are going to need them. Verse 16 says, above all, taking the shield of faith with you, which will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. In one of the Bible studies that I was reading about this, it was talking about how something gets lost in translation here. There's a shift that takes place in the framing of this in the Greek and the way that participles, Sister Rosling, I don't remember about participles, but apparently it's important here. It's important because those first three pieces were basically described as an action that's been done. God did it. He's given us truth. He's given us his righteousness. He's given us his peace. He's done it. But now there's a shifting that takes place, and he's saying, take up the sword. That means you've got to pick it up, and now you have to engage. And everything shifts here when you begin to look at this. The struggle of the walk here on earth is that we think that once we've won this battle, it's smooth sailing from here. My oldest described it to me once. He goes, I feel like I've just been fighting up a hill, up a hill, up a hill, up a hill, and now I'm at the top, and now I see there's another one up there. That's how he explained adulting to me. Yeah, that's life. It's gonna keep happening. It's a part of living. We will struggle. We will have a hard time. The strategy of the enemy will always exist. He's going to look up for ways to trip us up. But that's where we have to pick up our shield of faith. Now, we're not talking about the little Captain America shield of faith. We're talking about a shield of faith that could weigh up to 22 pounds, 4 feet tall, 2.5 feet wide. Why? Because I can get behind it. When the fiery darts of the enemy start coming, I am covered by the faith. I'm covered. Those darts are going to come. The arrows are going to come. But you see, when you look at this and you go to the imagery that's being presented here and you think about that, the way that they design these, I always thought it was like this bulletproof piece of metal, which didn't exist then, and they didn't have bullets, so they didn't need that. But the way that I read it to be created was layers of glue. I can get glue. Layers of wood glued together. I can get behind that as a woodworker. I understand that process. But then on the outside, it was covered in leather. And then it was trimmed in metal. And it wasn't until Brother Woodward said something about that that I was like, oh, I need to figure that out some more. You see, that leather, to be prepared for war, it had to be dipped in the water. The leather had to be oiled and kept wet. That faith had to be dipped in the truth, in who God is. It had to be in him. Why? Because the fiery darts of the enemy. When you're using your shield of faith to protect you from the fiery darts, you don't want dry, brittle leather. Because when that hits, it's going to catch on fire. But if you are dipping it in spirit, if you're dipping it in the water, if you are oiling it in all that he says and what his spirit does, then those fiery darts are going to come and they're going to be quenched. They're not going to consume you. Hear me today. They are going to come. I get so tired of trying to prop people up because bad things happen. It's gonna happen. But God has given you an armor that will help you to overcome. And it's not dinky child's play armor. This is serious stuff. He's very, very strategic in what he's given us. And the most incredible thing about looking at these shields, I don't know, I think about that and I'm like, I'm not the strongest person. I think I'm stronger than I am. And then I go do something. I'm like, oh, and it hurts for days. And I'm like, why did I do that? Or I play volleyball for 2 hours at church and I can't walk because I don't do leg day on a regular basis. You know what I'm talking about. So think about it. We think we're just going to walk in and because the battle is here, I'm just going to pick up my shield of faith. Sometimes it's heavy, and sometimes it's hard to pick up our faith because it's been challenged. It's hard. But you know how? You just keep picking it up. and you keep picking it up. And before you know it, you're just picking it up, and it's there. You see the difference? Faith grows stronger as we walk by faith. This is the equipment that God offers us, because those doubts, the deception, is always going to be fired at us. We cannot neglect our faith. One of the things about faith, I'm convinced we cannot do it alone. I don't think we can. Because there's too much that happens up here when life happens. And what we need to do is to come alongside each other and help each other. I know it's hard. I know you're hurting. I know this isn't fun. But you know what? I have found and I have seen Jesus on the other side of my brokenness. I have seen Jesus on the other side of my grief. He has been the light in the tunnel with me as I journey. And as we begin to share that, we begin to offer protection to others they cannot offer themselves. When they would go into battle and they would take those big shields, they would line up. They would line up, and the front row would have their shield, and they would crouch behind it. So now they're protected by this complete shield, and the person behind them would take their shield and put it on top, and then the next person behind them will put their shield on top. Do you see what's happening there? A barricade is beginning to be built, a barricade that says, you know what, no matter what the enemy says, I know who Jesus says that you are. I know that you will come through this. I know that you can overcome, because the scripture says we overcome by the of our testimonies. We need to do this together. We get to do this together. Isolation is a dangerous place to start. When you start pulling away, the enemy creeps in, and the curtains blow, and the doubts come, and the shadows grow, and the fight comes. Don't do it alone. There are so many people that I look across this room who I know want to go to battle with you, who want to sit with you, who want to help you. The enemy wants you to think, no, I'm all alone. I can't do this. But we are here together. Amen? Praise God. The enemy wants to take your hope. He wants to take God from you. Don't let him. Praise God. I lost where I was. What's left? The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Sam's sword is too big. I think it's like 3 foot. The sword of the Spirit, I would call it a dagger. Most likely, it was 18 to 24 inches, so somewhere in here. A dagger. Why a dagger? Because it's designed for close contact battle. And when you are in close contact battle, you better know what you're doing, or you might get hurt. When you look at this, and it's talking about the word of God, it's talking about the rhema word of God. As Brother Woodward said it, he called it the now word of God. It's the right word of God at the right time to combat the lie that the enemy is trying to throw at you. And we see Jesus model that for us in the wilderness 3 times. He was tempted, and he just came at it. He didn't debate. He didn't argue. He just simply said, yeah, that's what you say, but here's what the scriptures say. And he quoted scripture back at the enemy. When the lies come, we have to know the truth of what God's word says versus of what the enemy is trying to present to us. Because the enemy says, you messed up. They messed up. There's no hope. God can't redeem this. God can't restore this. But I serve a God who redeems. I serve a God who restores. I serve a God who pours grace upon our lives. Don't let the enemy take your hope, but learn. You have to engage. It can't just be, I have the word of God on a shelf. No, I have the word of God, and I have hidden it in my heart that I might not sin against you. I have the Word of God, and it is in my mind so that when the enemy gets in there, I could say, no, 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 I know the truth. I have the truth. There have been times in my life when I have been so broken and so hurt and so confused that I have literally slept on my Bible. Why? Because it's the Word of God. I don't think it can get in you any better when you're sleeping, but there's a comfort that comes because this is the living, breathing Word of God. We have to be wrapped up in the truth to combat the lies. Praise God. Stand with me this morning. At the end of this chapter, Paul talks about prayer. He doesn't use it as a part of the armor. I've heard some say that it is. But I think that he was saying, you know what? God's given you the armor, and you have it. And you can have the armor, and it can be shiny, and it can be perfect. But without the Spirit, it's useless. And prayer is what connects us to God's heart. Prayer is what gives us God's battle plan. Too often we are here on earth writing our own plans, writing our own script. And God's in heaven saying, wait a minute, Jess, I really would like to redeem that for a totally different outcome than what you think it should be. And prayer takes my thoughts and my spirit and it realigns me. When we look at how Paul prayed in this moment, remember, he was a man tethered to a Roman soldier under house arrest. He was not a free man when he wrote this. And he said, hey, when you pray, pray for me that I would have boldness to proclaim the gospel because I am an ambassador for Christ, though I'm a man in chains. Our circumstances chain us. And if all we do is focus on them, that's all we'll ever have. But if we understand, hey, wait a minute, I'm an ambassador for Christ. His Spirit lives and works and dwells in me. And maybe he wants to take these chains and use them for a totally different situation. But that requires me to submit my will for his, my feelings for his. We have the armor. We've been given it to use. It's not enough to have it. We have to engage with it, and we have to use it if we're going to be able to stand, if we're going to be able to keep the ground that God's already given us. Pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you. I am so thankful for you. The ways that you have been there when nothing else made sense. The ways that you are constant, the ways that you are faithful, the way that you are so graceful. God, grace and mercy. Grace and mercy. I am so thankful. God, there are so many times when it could have just been done, but you said, no, 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 no. Let me help. And God, I pray this morning that everyone who is here, as we look at this and we understand what it means to have your armor, to have your protection, to understand what you offer us, God, I pray that you would help us to pick it up, to use it, to walk in truth, to walk and be led by your Spirit. God, that we could stand against the wiles of the devil. God, I know there are people that are tired, people that are worn out, people that have been striving. But God, I pray this morning that they would come to a moment where they could just lay it down and say, Father, have your way. Father, lead me through this. You will strengthen me. You will guide me. You will keep me. Because we know that you are here, that you are with us, and you will work all things together for good. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God.